Hi, this is Zach. Welcome to the Coleraine Connection.
The official
behind the scenes
inside scoop
down Gilead Lane
Funcast.
And now, your hosts, Lori Twitchell and Steve O'Dell.
I did not labor this weekend. How about you? Did you?
I did some labor, but it was, minor things like moms always still have to do laundry and dishes.
Oh, sure. Yeah. That kind of
things like that.
Actually, I have to be honest. I did labor a little bit over the weekend, but on actual Labor Day proper, Monday, the 7th of September, I did not go in to work at either of the places where I work. So that was nice.
Very, very nice. Yeah.
Spent it with the family and had a real nice, pleasant West Michigan weekend.
Excellent. We had we had beautiful weather, and we spent a lot of the weekend in the pool.
Nice.
Which we all enjoyed. And I guess I did do a little bit of work, but it's fun work because, as you know, I've been reviewing books for a website online.
Oh, yeah.
So I spent a lot of the weekend reading. And
that's nice.
Getting caught up on that. So, I mean, part of that is work because I know I have to review the books later.
Mm-hmm.
But I enjoy just sitting down and reading. It's nice.
Yes. And it is nice doing this kind of work that we're doing right now, which doesn't at all feel like work because we get to talk about the hit family radio drama Down Gilead Lane with
Woo-hoo.
All these people listening.
Yes.
Hey, guys.
Because we know there are 10 million of them listening right now.
That's right. Welcome to another Coleraine Connection Funcast. I'm Steve O, and that's Lori.
Mm-hmm.
Say hi, Lori.
Hi, Lori.
And, we were just saying, this is the 37th episode of the Coleraine Connection, so that's
kind
of cool.
It is, wow, yeah.
I don't know what the significance is of the number 37, but...
I am 37.
There you go. That's the significance.
There you go. Yep. I am 37. And Lord bless her, I had a teenage girl at church the other day. She friended me on Facebook, and I told her that I was afraid to write on her wall because, I was an old person. And she wrote back and said, Lori, you will never be old. So thank you, Paisley. I thought that was really awesome that
is.
Somebody thought I was cool enough to be friended on Facebook and be able to write on her wall.
Sweet.
Yes.
So, the first two episodes of season 12 of Down Gilead Lane have now hit the airwaves, and so we can officially talk about them and give all that cool behind-the-scenes inside scoop stuff.
Behind-the-scenes inside scoop, on the back street, digging through the rubble in the garbage cans.
On the
cans.
Down low. I don't know.
That's us.
So let's just get into the discussion, eh?
Okay. We had episode 12-1.
12-1, yes. The A Hope by Any Other Name. I almost said The Hope That Heals. That was our first ever episode featuring the character
that's,
Hope.
That's
sorry.
Not 12-1, but...
No.
But it's a good Hope episode.
Yeah. And, A Hope by Any Other Name. Do you know, is this the second episode with Hope's name actually given in the title, or there have been more than that? Probably.
I don't know. I would have to go back and look at all the titles. And
we'll have to give the research department a call after the podcast and find out.
That would be you.
Actually, that would be our listening fans who are out there.
Oh, that's right. Those of you who are fans, they probably all have them,
yeah, they're probably calling out a number right now. They're saying, there's five. I don't know. But anyway, yes, Hope by Any Other Name. Great way to bring us back to the Morrison family after kind of ending season 11 pretty Richter heavy.
Mm-hmm.
So we took a little departure. We're going to definitely get back to Monica, as you know, after hearing this weekend's episode. But starting off the season... kind of starting off the new Morrison family with now the added member of Hope. It's kind of cool.
Yeah, it is pretty cool. And this was a great episode to work on. We talked from the moment that we introduced Hope. This was an episode that we had been talking about.
Oh, yeah. We've been working toward this. In fact, I still have in my list of episodes, we've got... something you wrote up for our character bio, or the story Bible, as we say, Hope Turner's story. So we kind of knew where she was coming from, so it would help us to kind of like know where she was headed. And we've gradually gotten there, and now we're there.
And it, you know, it seems like it's taken a long time to get there, but you know what? When you're adopting somebody, there's a long process to it.
Yeah, yeah. And when you're transitioning from, you know, a foster care situation to an actual official adoption, yeah, that's definitely quite a process.
I think it was neat to hold on to this story a little bit. I mean, we could have had the Morrisons, we could have jumped right into the adoption, but by holding on to it a little bit, we were able to explore some of Hope's past. I mean, those episodes, right. Sandcastles and Storms.
Yep.
And the episodes in Pittsburgh, we learned a lot about Hope, and I think that that helps make it a little bit more deep when you hear this.
Yeah.
You understand far more about Hope's character, who she was, where she came from, and how big this is.
Right. And hearing from Uncle Rob again at the end of the episode was kind of a nice little
touch. Was awesome, because Uncle Rob is a great character, and we've heard a lot of people who really, really liked hearing him, and a great way to keep her life connected.
Yes. Now, I went through, you know, we brainstormed this, Lori. I don't know if you remember this, but it was, I believe, late 2008 we brainstormed these first episodes of the season. And so I went back and listened to the recording of our conference call with you, me, Mrs. Ritchie, John Fornoff. And actually, Captain Cal Olson was also sitting in on that brainstorm.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
Yeah. And so we kicked around a lot of ideas, and, you know, just the thought of Hope really, really trying to kind of work overtime to become one of the Morrisons and kind of emulate Justin and Brooke especially. We had an idea that was kind of interesting that came up that never made it into the script, and I just thought we would play it for our fans.
I'd like to throw out something real quick just for fun.
Yeah.
This might be a little too fun. if something like, if she's trying to emulate, if Hope was trying to emulate Brooke and Justin, and maybe in Mary's statement when she's saying goodbye to him or whatever, or to say to Justin, and she might mention in passing, you know, I just watched you grow up, and it's been fun, you know, like when you were in the Rocket Club, and I've seen you grow and all that kind of stuff. So she mentions the Rocket Club, something about that.
Yeah.
Went with Seth Rockets. And maybe this triggers a lot of things in Hope when she hears what she says to Justin and to Brooke, but let's pursue this one for just a moment. So she hears about the Rocket Club, and maybe she's out in the garage just looking, and she remembers seeing something, and she finds Justin's old Rockets.
Yeah,
he used to play out with, and she decides she wants to try her hand at rocketing, you know, and right. To her own I could see some disaster happening here.
Dad, attempt this at home.
Yes, exactly. Where this could be like a real fun disaster happening, because she wants to be just like Justin, just, you know, that kind of thing. So anyway, just something fun.
Yeah, I agree. Probably don't try this at home would be good advice on that. I think that was Mrs. Ritchie that said that.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, that was kind of fun.
Wanted to blow up stuff.
Well, of course, you know, you always look for those opportunities, but but there was no way to fit it in. The story was already chock full. So anyway, that was kind of a fun idea. We are going to take a look at some comments that we got from listeners on the episode A Hope by Any Other Name.
Mm-hmm.
These are on our blog. So if you have not commented on either of these first two episodes, go to our blog and do that. You can just attach it to any one of our posts. Lori was the most recent poster, so she got the comments, and I'm a little jealous, but, you know, I only have myself to blame.
Well,
so.
There's your blog off.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Well, we tried that this summer, so anyway, I will post something. But Lori, why don't you go ahead and read the comments we got on this episode?
Okay, so what we're looking at this episode, a lot of people really liked it. And,
yep.
Of course, Daniel was there. He loved the storyline that flowed nicely out of Hope's adoption. And he goes into, you know, what it meant for me. He loved how the lesson tied into really just being yourself. And that fits perfectly into the body of Christ.
Yeah.
And I really like that lesson, too. And he said he loves Hope's scheming ways, as always, when Justin was telling her about skipping two grades. You could just hear trouble in her voice as she said, Morrisons are supposed to be smart. And he liked the whole Mosif thing.
Oh, right, yes.
You know, morphing Moses and Joseph. That was great. Dave said that this episode reminded him a little bit of 11-11, which is A Tale of Two Families. His Hope struggles with understanding that you don't have to be perfect to be a Morrison in both shows. There are some similarities then. And you know what? Sometimes, as we, you know, learn some of our lessons, sometimes they have to be learned again and again.
So true.
I mean, I've done that a couple of times myself, and Hope as a kid, and you know, it was kind of just brought home to her. She's really going to be Hope Morrison, you know.
Right.
So that was a big one. And he said it was a pretty good show, and it was nice to hear from all of the Morrisons. And
cool.
We also heard from Commander Colton. Commander Colton thought it was a good episode overall. Hope's mischief was great, both humorous and a good fit for the point. Commander Colton said, I had just one big disappointment that Mrs. Blindcoop wasn't the first grade teacher anymore. It would have been cool if that character could have returned.
Yes, that's true. I can tell you a little something about Mrs. Winecoop, though. It was the first but not last cameo appearance of an actress that I have very, very special feelings for because it's my wife.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So you do know where to find her.
Yes. It's not that we lost her. It's just the one thing is we wanted this teacher to be new to Coleraine because that sort of played into the story, not knowing who the Morrisons are, which really upset Hope. So we had to kind of like create a new character. So
there you go.
That's the little behind the scenes bit on that.
Very, very cool.
So that is episode 1, 12-1, A Hope by Any Other Name. Now, we have discussion of 12-2 yet to do as well, but do you want to take a little break and read some mail from the mailbag first, or you want to just wrap up the discussion and then jump into the mailbag?
Let's plow right into that discussion.
Sounds good. We could have worked that out in our production meeting beforehand, probably.
Maybe we should
have production meetings before we do our podcast. What do you think?
That might not be a bad idea, but I kind of thought our production meetings were, you know, our little Yahoo messages that we pass back and forth saying, hey, are you going to be there at that time?
Yeah. All right. Let's podcast today. Oh, can you do that? Yeah. Okay. Let's do it. That's our production meeting.
What are we going to talk about? Yeah. You guys might think we're kidding, but really we're not.
Yeah. I forward the emails to Lori so she can take a look at them beforehand, and that's pretty much it.
Very, very good.
All right. 12-2. Always Stay in Control, which just aired this very Labor Day weekend.
Ooh. And I do have one comment on that on my blog.
Yes, and what was that?
Daniel R. was talking about how this was a fantastic episode, and he could tell that it was John Fornoff's writing. For those of you who are keeping track with that, this is the first time that we've heard from Mr. Fornoff since season 10.
That's right.
Because I wrote all of season 11 and I wrote episode 1 for this one.
Yep.
So we're very happy to have a Mr. Fornoff episode for this one. We are back to the flip-flop. And Daniel says that he could tell that it was Mr. Fornoff's writing as it was much more dramatic.
You know,
especially the ending with Monica crying out at the end.
Yes.
And he thinks that Monica is cracking and realizing that she doesn't have all the answers.
Mm.
So I think that's kind of an interesting thing.
She is a tough nut, though.
She is. What kind of nut is she?
Tough nut to crack. Probably a coconut would be my guess. I don't know.
That's true. Or one of those, like, was that hazelnuts? You can't really crack those ones very easy, so...
Right.
I don't know. See, this is how we deviate in the podcast, but that's the comment that I have on 12-2. Do you have anything remembering from brainstorming or anything?
From the same brainstorm meeting that we did back, I want to say it was like November or December last year. It's crazy. We're coming up on a year since we started brainstorming this. But anyway, we did both shows in one meeting, and... We covered a lot of stuff on this episode, because this episode is so, you know, closely tied to the arc plot and, you know, what's going on with Monica and all her legal stuff. There was just a lot more, you know, to talk about with this episode. But one of the big question marks was kind of hanging over the character of William Paulson, who just kind of popped up out of nowhere at the end of season 11. Remember that, Lori?
Mm-hmm. Yes, I do remember that, because I wrote that.
Right. And so when we were talking about, all right, where do we go from here? It was like, what do we do with this character? Who is he? Where does he come from? What's he about? And I don't know if this little part of the discussion is going to answer any questions for you guys, but this is just a little bit of what we kind of were thinking about Will Paulson.
And by the way, Steve, that character that I added at the end, we never talked about the guy who came in.
I was going to ask you about that. William Paulson.
He is completely, at this point, ambiguous. We can make him bad or good or whatever you want. You want to make it a divine Clarence the Angel kind of guy?
No, actually,
you know, or do you want to make him somebody from Saturnine that makes sure that she goes away for a long, long time?
No. I mean, I guess he could. What I assumed, and what I'm kind of like hoping, is that this person is somehow connected to... I like the idea of William Paulson being a good guy. For some reason, that just felt right to me. I wanted to believe he was a good guy when he showed up there at 11, 12. But if we can't logistically make that work, then maybe we ought to make him a bad guy who is going to somehow throw the defense. I don't know.
I think it's good that she doesn't trust anybody.
Right.
No matter what his motives are right now, we don't have to go into his motives. If his motives at the end are good, then they're revealed to be good, but Monica didn't trust any, and it could be very profound that he was another lifeline and she just rejected him.
It was very interesting.
Yeah. Yes, that was very interesting. That didn't really reveal too much, but that's okay, because I will just say this. Here's a little tease.
Hmm.
Next episode, okay, 12:03, mm-hmm. which, by the way, should I give the title?
Well, we already gave the titles in the podcast, or in the Cheesy Teasy podcast. We just didn't tell them which ones were which.
I'll just say next weekend is entitled One Way, and you'll find out more about William Paulson in that episode. So there you go. And you know what? I've got another little bit from the brainstorm. This had to do with this episode, 1202, and just kind of how I'm always referencing certain classic stories. So also, I think maybe when we brainstormed, it was around Christmas time, so that makes sense. But here you go.
I don't want to happen in this episode. It might happen eventually, but I don't want, like, she cries out to God, and then, you know, there's a knock on her jail cell, you know, and here's the
right
thing. It feels like a cheat. Maybe pushing that into the next episode.
Yeah. I kind of feel like it's got to go the opposite direction from her perspective.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, do you know when George Bailey finally broke down and prayed in Martini's bar?
Yep.
It was right after that Clarence showed up, but Clarence was not the hope and the help that John needed from, I'm sorry, not John,
George.
That George needed from George's perspective.
Yeah.
George's perspective, Clarence might as well have been a demon, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, what are you doing, you know? And so I almost feel like there's got to be some turn that happens after that moment on Monica's part that will reveal itself eventually as God's answer to that, but will in the
moment feel like
Monica's bane.
So, yep, I just gotta say I'm kind of a sentimental, I guess, but that's one of my favorite movies.
Yes. I was gonna say that is one of Steve O'Dell's favorite movies, and
it is A Wonderful Life.
You know, almost everything can come back around to that movie in some way, shape,
that's
or form.
That's so true. Yeah. So there you go. I'm gonna try in the podcasts for this season. I'm going to try to include more little nuggets from our brainstorm meetings like that. So hope you guys like it. If you don't, let me know and I'll stop doing it. But if you like it, let me know and I'll
keep
going.
I think they'll like it. You'll have to keep rustling through the trash bins outside CBH to see what's been tossed. See what nuggets you can find. I have this great picture of Steve out there in the snow with, you know, for some reason I'm picturing you with one of those knit caps with the pom-pom on top and big mittens trying to find, where did that tape go?
Wow. Let me think if I can come up with a stereotype Texas image of you. No, that's not.
Steve.
But it's true. Up here in Michigan, we all do wear the knit caps with the little puffball at the top. All year round, we wear them. It's just part of our uniform.
Of course you do. Hey, don't forget, I grew up next to Lake Erie. I know what lake effect snow is like, and I know what cold weather's like.
And in Michigan, of course, we have to wear mittens. We have to. We have to wear mittens. In fact, we wear, you know, a left mitten on both our right and left hands just because, you know, it looks like Michigan.
Exactly.
Okay, that was a tangent for you. Let's
Steve and I specialize in those.
Yes, we do. So I'm holding the mailbag here. I'm thinking about opening it up, and we actually have a special guest haikuist today, don't we?
Haikuist, I like that. Yes, we do. I did not have to write a haiku, and Steve was breathing big sighs of relief because he didn't have to write a haiku.
That's right. So we're gonna have our guest, special guest, come in here. Should we keep him anonymous? Should we make it a contest? Guess who it is that's reading this haiku?
Oh, that's not a bad one. I like that. Who do you think put this together? Put it on our blogs.
Yeah, take a guess. And here you go.
Hope, now Morrison. Monica is cracking. So, what will happen next?
Yes, very nice. And
And
good voice,
too. Do you guys know who did that?
If you want to do what this young man has done, all you got to do is record yourself and attach an MP3 to an email and send it to our illustrious email address, which is ccfuncast@gileadlane.org. Or you can always, you know, just send us an email with your haiku and we'll read it for you, whatever. Mm-hmm. So, but speaking of sending us an email, we've got a few here, don't we?
We do have a few here and we love hearing from you guys. And this one, hi, I love this show so much. I wanted to know, why did you stop giving free Down Gilead Lane podcasts? I miss it. I had them, but since my computer crashed, I lost all of them. My favorite one was the episode about Grace and the mayoral election. And my question is, do you think you will put some free episodes of DGL back? And if so, I want the one about when they adopt Hope. And that is from somebody. I will apologize in advance now because I know I can't pronounce this well, but Moise.
Okay.
Wanting to know that.
Okay, well,
that's you, since you're in charge of that.
What you are listening to right now at this very minute is a free Down Gilead Lane podcast. I think probably what they mean is like full episodes of Down Gilead Lane as a free podcast. That'd be my guess.
Yeah.
And we do that every once in a while, periodically. We'll just put out a free episode in the podcast slot, and we'll probably be doing that sometime this season, so be looking for that. We do recoup some of the cost of producing Down Gilead Lane by selling the episodes, so we kind of have to charge for those episodes, you know, to make back some of the money that we spend in making it. Mm-hmm. But we try to, you know, supplement the fun by making this behind the scenes podcast, and we make this free. So there you go. Be looking for a free episode. We'll put one out here sometime in the next few months. Okay. I have got a question here from Tori. And Tori just asks the simple question, why did you choose Monica Richter to get arrested? That's a good question, Tori.
That is a good question.
I think for one, just from a legal standpoint, she did some things that were against the law, or it seems like that's the case. So just to kind of serve justice in the story, but I think also because this is a character who's kind of been at the top of her game. She's always been in control of her life, and circumstances are now changing that status in her life, and who knows how God maybe is going to use that for his glory. So, you know, that's there's the surface kind of reality, sort of like just regular day ins and outs of life kind of answer. And then there's the deeper kind of spiritual answer. And I hope that helps you, Tori.
I hope that helps you, too. I really like this next email. This one's from John.
Yes.
And it's not John Fornoff either. It wasn't a plant. Dear brilliant writer Lori and totally awesome producer Steve. That's a great way to make sure that you get into the podcast.
Yeah, pretty much. That's a guaranteed mention on the podcast.
We love that. It says, I understand that you feel the end of season 12 is the end of the story, but can't you make more episodes that are like special episodes or something, as opposed to just ending the best family radio drama I've heard? Oh, I like that too. For example, wow. Family Camp and Miss Rhubarb didn't have anything, that's all in capital letters, so I had to do with the end of season 11. Couldn't you create some episodes that are just, you know, special episodes? Nothing has to be connected from the previous episode. To top it all off, you would still have a job that you love, I'm assuming. And that's John from somewhere near Chicago.
Somewhere near Chicago. John. Well, you know, it's true that Family Camp and Miss Rhubarb didn't have very much to do with the end of season. Well, it didn't really have anything to do with the end of season 11. But they did have all of the characters that you hear in Down Gilead Lane. And so for the program to continue and for us to continue to have a job that we love, we would need to, you know, develop all new characters. And so if we're doing that, then we might as well develop an all-new show, an all-new story.
Right.
Because, yeah, our characters are pretty much all grown up.
And, you know, nothing happens after you grow up.
Right, right. Well, I mean, you need kids on a kids' radio show, right?
I would think so.
Either that or, you know, like space aliens and, you know, walking, talking bears and rabbits.
Animals.
And animals, and yeah. So we could go that route. Anyway, I'll tell you this. There will be no bulldozers.
I promise.
You know, or anything just kind of like erasing Coleraine from the face of the earth.
Steve broke the CD with bulldozer sounds.
In this season. Yeah, I broke that CD. We actually wore it out. We used it so much. No. Anyway, thank you for that email. Now, here's one. Oh, we know this guy.
Yes.
Renslow.
Yes, except that we shouldn't even read this because it says Go Eagles at the end, and we can't do that.
Oh, we got a little rivalry here.
Hey, it's football season this week.
Yeah. I was wondering, in honor of the end of Gilead, could you regularly, on the podcast, read character bios out of the Gilead Bible? And, of course, he's referring to our story Bible, which has all of the character profiles and
that's
all that kind of stuff.
That's our super secret story Bible that nobody else has the copies of, right?
Right. Yes. He said, I remember you read Mrs. Morrison's bio a while back, but could you do some more?
We'll have
good
to see
suggestion.
If we can pull that off. Yeah, we love suggestions.
Okay, well, stay tuned to the end of today's podcast, and maybe you'll hear a character bio.
Something that you didn't expect.
Right. Something I didn't expect. All right, do you have another email?
Somewhere I do. You really want me to multitask, don't you? Pulling together the Bible.
You're so good at
doing
it.
Doing all that stuff. Okay, I have an email from Courtney.
All right.
Courtney says, hey, Steve and Lori, I just listened to the season 12 cheesy teasy this morning, and I heard the bad news of season 12 being the last season, and I have a big, big question. Are you guys still going to do a podcast even after season 12 is over? please put this question on the podcast. That's another good way to get into the podcast. Beg us to put it in the podcast. We'll do it.
Actually ask us to. Boy, good question, Courtney. And interestingly, Lori and I were just talking about that, weren't we?
Yes, we were. I think I just asked you that same question a little while ago.
Maybe it's because you had just read Courtney's
Actually,
email.
I didn't. It's just great minds think alike.
There you go. Yes, we would love to continue doing a podcast. They're cheap and easy.
Yeah, and we have fun doing them.
Right. So there will definitely be stuff to talk about. So we are sort of beginning the planning stages of the CBH Ministries podcast.
Mm-hmm.
So I have one more here from Jane. She's wondering if the episode 412, that would be season 4, episode 12, was the director's cut of the episode? Well, let me answer that real quick. I think on the set, the season 4 set, we may have had to use a truncated version of that episode just because the season
Truncated means shorter.
Right, a little bit edited. That was a long episode, I remember. In fact, it seems like when we were putting it together, we got, you know, the edit done and we were like, whoa, this is a really long episode, but it's not so long that it would make sense to split into two episodes. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So we really, really had to cut that thing pretty mercilessly. But I do believe that there is a full unedited version available as a single. So I hope that answers that question. Jane goes on to say, I liked Always Stay in Control because Monica Richter is coming to her senses. I hope she becomes a Christian. When is Tiffany going to come to her senses? And then Jane makes an interesting statement. I hope Randy and his family lead her to Christ.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Randy, meaning Randy Brodsky, son of Reverend Brodsky, the guy in charge there at Peace of Heaven. And then this question, are Caleb and Carrie going to be married? How come you didn't use an actual blind person for Grace? I'm blind myself. Wow, Jane, you got a lot packed in there. She is, let's see here, looks like from the Los Angeles area. But, Jane, we didn't use a blind person for Grace just because we found an actress who was able to really portray a blind person very well, and she's a great actress. And so that was kind of why we went that route. If we had found a blind actress, you know, who was as believable and convincing as Karen playing Grace, we probably would have cast that person. But Karen Levine was the person that God brought along for Grace. So that's who we went with. I think it's great that you're listening, and I hope that we are accurately portraying a blind person and what that life is like. Tell us how we're doing. And Caleb and Carrie getting married. Well, can't answer that. I cannot say yes or no.
We could, but then Steve would hurt me.
Right. Sorry, just not allowed. But I'll tell you this. We are going to hear from both Caleb and Carrie sometime this season. So there you go.
Excellent. That sounds awesome. And now, Steve, I have one more email here.
Oh, you do? Okay.
It's about another coloring community that's out there where you can discuss each and every episode of Down Gilead Lane with fans, you know, episode by episode. And it was built by a Down Gilead Lane fan. And if you go
A
super fan, because this fan is awesome. And Steve and I are both members of the community. If you go to our blog, you can find a link to this site. And we just want to put that out there because we love places for fans to get together and talk.
Right. So if as soon as we're done recording here, I will go to our blog and make a link to this community. It's a social networking site, you know, so
not built by us. It's an unofficial site. And this fan put that it's the unofficial social network for the hit family radio series Down Gilead Lane. And I got to tell you, he did a nice job putting everything together.
Yeah. So check with your parents, you know, make sure it's cool with them, because it is not a, you know, an official CBH Ministries website. But I will put the link in a blog entry on the Coloring Connection Funcast blog, which, of course, you can always get to by just going to funcast.gileadlane.org and then just hit the little heading there that says the blog, and I'll have a link right there.
Sounds awesome. Okay, so I think that wraps up our mailbag.
Yep, zip it up, and we'll have it ready to fill with more mail for our next podcast.
That means our job is done and your job is just beginning. It's time for you guys to fill it up for us again.
That's right. Any questions you have about Down Gilead Lane, Season 12, CBH Ministries, or, you know, the weather in Texas, just email... just email ccfuncast@gileadlane.org.
Excellent.
And yeah, and you can always call our toll-free comment line. Now, it's toll-free if you're in the U.S., okay? If you're in the United States, you can always call 877-937-5397 and just speak clearly and give us your question, your comment there, and we might just put you on the air.
Excellent.
That pretty much does it for the mailbag, and I think that pretty much does it for another podcast.
No, Lori? Actually it doesn't. Oh. We had a suggestion in that mailbag, and while we've been reading the rest of the mail,
I got short-term memory issues. I'm sorry. Yes, you're right.
Reading something from the Gilead Bible, of which there are only a very couple, you know, like you and Terry and Mr. Fornoff
yes,
and I have.
Yes, a select
yeah,
handful.
There's just a couple of people
of
have them.
Privileged humans on the planet.
Yes. And so I thought it might be interesting to read Monica, a part of Monica's entry, because Monica's entry goes on for a very long time here, and you guys don't want to hear me talk for that long.
No.
But
it does make sense to delve into Monica, though, since we've, in this episode two, we've been spending so much time with her.
Yeah, and so that's what I thought, is that everybody, a lot of the emails and comments that we've gotten were about Monica and her changes. So here is the grass does not grow under our feet. So here is the entry for Monica Ferris Richter.
Go for it.
The waitress was a young lady named Monica Ferris. She knew who Tom was. She'd grown up in a large, very non-Christian family in the city, and she had learned to take care of herself at a very young age, and she knew that it was up to her to get herself out of a life clamoring for money. Monica has always known that she was beautiful, strikingly so, and her beauty holds power for her. Although she's a slight woman, she's very feisty. Never could have told me that. That's interesting. And can be downright ruthless and nasty if she has. When she met Tom, she turned on the charm. She knew to dress the right way and give him the right looks, and she made herself whatever she thought that he might want. Now, Tom's family had a really hard time accepting Monica once Tom announced he was falling in love with this little nobody from a big family that didn't have any money. They didn't want him associating with riffraff. In fact, it says in here, they would tell him, after all, Thomas, if you hadn't been out with that sordid group on the night of the accident, nothing would have ever happened to the Andrews, and we wouldn't have had to cover anything up. Ooh. But the words of his mother and father fueled his desire to be with Monica. He was tired of being their puppet. So he decided to pursue Monica. So that's just part of her story, story Bible entry. And it's interesting.
Yeah. And that's kind of like the sort of like framework by which we kind of like add, you know, flesh and skin to the characters. I mean, I think the way it played out in the final story was that, you know, the accident happened before Monica and Tom met. But just knowing that about his parents, that they're kind of that way and that controlling.
And constantly reminding you of your mistakes. I mean, that would be horrible.
Yeah. And just the fact that, you know, actually going ahead with a relationship with her and marrying her, or at least going ahead with a relationship with her initially, was kind of an act of rebellion on Tom's part.
Yes, it was.
Kind of shows a little bit of his character and how the accident and the cover-up of the accident sort of affected him. So, anyway.
That also gives us a lot of insight into how much Tom has changed.
Yeah, true.
I mean, it's just amazing to see how much both characters have changed. Monica kind of dug into that idea and taking care of herself.
and
doing
and
what she needed to do.
Right, right.
And Tom has done a complete 180.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting. I just think about the line that Monica has in this episode that we just discussed, where she says, you know, I learned a lot from both Tom Richters. Junior taught me how to love again, and Senior taught me the importance of power, or something like that,
mm-hmm.
you know? And
mm-hmm.
so that's kind of, that pretty much sums up the Monica character, where she's at right now. But what you just read helped us kind of like see where a little bit of where she came from. So thank
you. And we'll try to remember to do that in the future.
Yeah, we'll try to make that a little feature in the remaining Gilead podcasts that we do. But I do think that now does bring us to the end of yet another Coleraine connection.
Yes.
Right, Lori?
I'm not hiding anything else.
Okay. But thanks for remembering that. And so we'll see you guys next time. Remember, email us your questions. Check us out online. You can call the toll-free comment line if you really feel ambitious. And until then...
Every day needs a first grader blowing stuff up?
Maybe, unless we cut it out. All right, thanks, guys. We'll talk to you later.
All right, bye.
We'll try to make that a little feature in the remaining Gilead podcasts that we do. But,
yes, and we're going to keep podcasting, by the way. We've had a lot of people asking about that.
Yeah, we talked about that.
Well, we did. Sorry, it's been a long
morning. That's okay.
So.
I'll just pick up.
Okay.